Hey True North, it's Monday, June 15th. My name is Eugene, and welcome to the 44th episode of True North Daily. Today we're lucky and blessed to have Jonathan Sharks on as a guest host. He is a NBA writer for The Ringer. If you didn't know, The Ringer is a sports and pop culture website founded by the sports writer Bill Simmons in 2016. If you also didn't know, I'm a huge NBA and Warriors fan, so I've been really excited to finally be able to post this. I've been following The Ringer and the NBA content from that site since its inception, so I was pleasantly surprised, to say the least, to also find an author of The Ringer, Jonathan, run a small but deep and thoughtful blog on the books of the Bible. It's currently going through the book of Isaiah, and I found its thoughts and its commentary more interesting than some actual commentaries I have, so I naturally had to invite Jonathan on. He and I had a quick conversation on his faith, his work as a writer in sports media, and ultimately how that all mixes together. So I hope you're blessed by it this morning. Well, hey, thanks, Jonathan, for doing this. One question I had was, knowing that you're a Christian and you're working kind of in the sports field, I just wanted to see if you could share maybe a brief testimony of your own faith.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So for me, I didn't actually grow up in the church. My parents, real secular, very much like, I grew up like in a science first household. Very much for us, politics was religion, evolution. I mean, I had no grid for the church at all growing up. And then, so I lived a really kind of, I guess, quote unquote, normal lifestyle, college, right after college. And it was just, I got really into like partying, drugs, you know, just looking for meaning in the life and the world and not really finding anything. And so it was about, I was like 24, 25, a coworker of mine, pretty strong Christian. He kind of shared the gospel with me, kind of brought me around his family, his church. And I didn't really have much going on in my life at the time. So it was very appealing. I just didn't really believe like in supernatural things. I was very much raised to believe in materialism. The idea of like, it just seemed very hocus pocus to me, supernatural. So I was like, I respected the way he lived his life. And so I kind of like looked into Christianity. And I think for me, I got it. It's just pretty cool. I can get it. But I just don't believe like in God. So, right. So that's where I was for a while. And then I kind of had this like spiritual experience. It was almost 6 years ago now. I was at a rave for a New Year's Eve rave. I'm rolling on ecstasy, just kind of out of my mind. And I really believe that ecstasy, those kind of drugs, like they really kind of lower. I feel like people naturally, there's like a spiritual world you're not really, you can't really experience. I feel like those drugs like lower your, you kind of feel and see things without the normal sense of perspective and vision. And I'm at this concert, I'm out of my mind. And then I see like this, there's like a, so EDM shows, they have like a visual backdrop. And there's this mask for V for Vendetta they're playing. And then everyone's like kind of like dancing and like, really I'm watching, but oh, they're worshiping this like mask. Oh, this is a demon. And I just had this like sense of like, oh my gosh, like there are spirits in the world. This is crazy. I like freaked out and I'm like, if there are spirits in the world, there's probably God. And if there's a God, then I better be on his side. And I was like, I better become a Christian then. And that was it. After that, I just kind of called my friend, joined the church, and I started walking with God from there.
Quite a testimony that most people probably can't share. How has, I guess to follow up one quick question, how has your experience been in the church? Since I think a lot of people in the church, they're raised in the church. So mm-hmm. A lot of the things that we do, they're kind of just, you take it as is. But I guess since you're a little new to the faith, is there anything, I guess, church tradition or culture where you're kind of like, oh, that's interesting or peculiar?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing, I had it in my head that like, oh, I got to be like a Republican, basically, to be a Christian. So it was nice. I was like pleasantly surprised. Like in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to like a right-wing rally. But I didn't like that at all. Like, I feel like, at least in my church, and something I'm a part of, politics is less important than it is in the world. If people are less focused on it. So for me, it was just more like, I had this idea in my head of how Christianity was based off like a small subset. And I was like pleasantly surprised to find out that it wasn't all like that, that it wasn't necessarily politically motivated and like, I guess that's what it said.
Awesome. Yeah. No, that's encouraging because I know some churches don't have that. So I guess you got plugged into the right church for that context. Yeah, I guess a little switching gears, and maybe this relates to your testimony of faith, or maybe it doesn't, but how was it that you got into writing and ended up at The Ringer with Bill Simmons?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I at this point, when I became a Christian, I was already a sports writer. So I had been doing this sports writing since I was like 16. I grew up playing basketball, and eventually it became pretty clear I wasn't going to be an NBA player. So I was like, all right, I better find something else to do. And so I just transitioned to writing about it. And yeah, I've been doing that forever, really. So going to The Ringer, let me think. So after college, I like freelance. I got into The Ringer. I think I've been a Christian for like 2 or 3 years. And I guess the cool story, part of that is so literally like the day after I kind of joined the church and became a Christian, I ended up losing my job as an editor for it's like called SB Nation. It's gone now, which is crazy. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have a job anymore. What am I gonna do? And it was like at that moment, it was very much like, all right, God, this better be real because I don't have a job.
Yeah.
And so I really felt like God told me to start a blog. And it was at the time it was odd because blog was already kind of out of fashion. It was like 2014. And I was like, all right. So I kind of got a day job, started blogging, and I built up an audience to where when The Ringer was getting started, they reached out to me and they were like, hey, we love your blog, which was a cool, crazy faith building moment. It was like, oh my gosh, this whole time God had set this up. Like, you know, it's just like, wow, I follow what God's told me to do. And like, God, there's this incredible fruit to it. So that was awesome. And I joined The Ringer when I first started in 2016. It's been about 4 years now.
And I guess in line with your writing, I think one question I want to ask is, at least in my church, work is probably the biggest part of everyone's life. Everyone works for Facebook or a tech company. So it's pretty appealing, a lot of money. And I guess for you, writing is kind of similar where your craft is literally, it's not just something that you store in a database, but it's present for everyone to see. And as a Christian, one question that I always ask people is this: how do you combat that temptation to make work, and especially your writing, like an idol and let it define you? And I guess, is there anything you do as a writer to ensure that doesn't happen?
I think that's a great question. I feel like that's one of the great temptations just of like American society. I feel like us particularly, it's all about identity comes from work, your career, your profession. I feel like, it's like you meet someone, what do you do, right? I am this. It's so hard to not make that part of who you are, especially if you have a quote unquote cool job. Because, oh, that's so cool, you have this job, tell me about it. And it's like, well, I guess I'm valuable because I have this cool job, right? I have these cool stories. I do these quote unquote cool things. And it's very, very easy. So it's hard, honestly. It's something I constantly struggle with. I don't like always have the answer for that. That's like, in many ways, probably like a daily struggle for me. I know for me personally, what I try to do, I try to keep work and my work and personal life separate. So I'm not on social media as much because I realized it was just too hard for me. Like it became like work would follow me around constantly, right? So if I have a Twitter account, but I don't really use it, but like I took it off my phone because it was like, man, I have enough followers where like people are constantly talking to me about my job 24/7, and everything I do can be like evaluated. It's like, well, I wrote this, these people said that, and it's just like for me, I had to set it up so I had more like an old school writing job, like right? Because like 30 years ago, I'm writing for a newspaper. I write the article. It's in the paper. It's done. Like no one, maybe I might see one person talk to me about it, right? Where I think now in my profession, you write an article, you're getting feedback constantly about it. People are judging you on it, right? So for me, I try to like keep myself separate from social media so that I have some distance to live a more normal life and to like have some work-life barrier and not let work become too important to me.
I see. And in that way, you kind of just like block yourself off from that noise and feedback that can even tempt you more into.
Yeah, for sure. It's just like, you know, especially like for me, like I'm at a point in my career where like, you know, I have a name in my industry. People know who I am. People follow me. And it's like, if all of my friends were in this industry, it's like, look at me, I'm a ringer, right? Like, you know, but I have these friends at church who don't know anything about sports, right? I could care less. And so for them, it's like, you write cover basketball for a living? That's what they want. So it's good, it's humbling in a sense. It's like, okay, the stuff I do, it's not that big a deal, really. Like, I get to, like, have a goof-off job where I watch basketball. And, like, you know, so I think that helps, too, to have different. Like, I think for me, like, I work remotely. I'm based out of Dallas. My job is in LA. So, like, I'm some people at work, but I have a whole life outside of that. That's nice to have that.
Awesome. No, I think that's great advice, especially for us here in the Bay Area. And I guess one last question on work itself is, do you feel like your faith in Christ has somehow helped or aided your own work and your own writing in any way?
Well, I mean, I think first off is I don't feel like I really do feel like God has placed me here to talk about him, right? Giving me this platform. I don't necessarily believe that if I had become a Christian, I'd have the job I have now. So in that sense, yes, career-wise. And I think more than that, yeah, I think, you know, like walking with God, and I feel like to me practically, I try to like, I need help with this article, help me with these ideas. So like partnering with God in what I do, I'm sure makes me a better writer. I have to believe that.
And then I guess shifting a little bit of gears, I wanted to, I guess, talk about being a Christian in the workplace. I think here in the Bay Area, especially people who work in tech, it's a really hard thing to do, because I think you mentioned you do your best to separate your work and your home life, but here everything's integrated.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. They give you free meals, they ride you out in a bus to your company all for free. So I guess given that, maybe at the Ringer, as a Christian, how's your experience been? Do your coworkers know about your faith, and how do they interact with you about it? Are they hostile? Are they neutral? Are they positive?
I'd say they're more like, wow, that's interesting. Like it's like the media world, probably even more in tech, I don't know, but media is such a secular industry. Like I can count people I know in the media who are Christian, 1%, 2%. It's more like an anomaly. And then I don't know, it's a little weird for me because I'm a remote worker. So like I only see my coworkers maybe a couple times a year. And that was pre-COVID. Who knows what'll happen, you know? So like I don't get to see them as much. Our relationship is a little more superficial. I'm very intentional about when I see them praying into them. I think I've shown up with a few people. I don't know that necessarily did anything for them, you know. And so it's hard to say, honestly. I'm on social media much, so I don't really know. No one's ever like said anything bad about it.
Sure.
At least in my face.
Yeah.
I remember one guy, we were having dinner one time. It was like, it was four of us. And then one guy, he's like, you know, first time at Sharks, we were just two of us, and he started talking to me about Jesus, and I was like, whoa, I knew it was going there.
I see.
But for the most part, everyone's been cool. Like, no one is super, I would say really, like, with my line of work, I'm sure in the Bay is the same way. Everyone is so tied into, like, politics for them. Like, if I was a Republican, it'd be a much bigger deal at my workforce than if I was a Christian, honestly.
Interesting.
Like, I feel like that, if I was out here being like, go Trump, that'd be a big deal. But me talking about Jesus, kind of go, that's just weird.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And I guess given that, do you have any advice on how to share your faith, especially to your coworkers? Because I mean, you're in such a secular place and setting. I think a lot of us here in our workplaces are too. And I think one struggle that a lot of us also have is, okay, how do I get to talking about Jesus? How do I drop that in a conversation? I guess, do you have any experience in that? Any advice on doing it in a winsome manner?
Well, I think the main thing is like, you know, you want to be loving. I think just investing in people naturally and building relationships as best you can. I mean, I think I look back to like the guy who shared the gospel with me initially, you know, we became friends first. And then once you're a friend, it's kind of like, you know, it's like lowering the barriers, right? Like,
yeah.
If we're not friends, then okay. But it's just so different when you can share. And I think really for me and him, it was more sharing his life. Like, we became good enough friends that I met his wife. I met his kids. I went to his small group, right? So like we were just like friends in that sense, that it was just a natural transition. And to me and Mike, and like that's what appealed to me more than, it wasn't like he gave me like 12 Bible verses, right?
And yeah.
Like, oh, here's Thomas Aquinas' theory of, you know, universal move or whatever, right? That's what, I don't know. In my experience, it's more about sharing your life with people. And if you're walking with God, walking with Jesus, and that's what shines through in your life, and then that'll be appealing to people because like you're just naturally changing. It's different, right? You know, honestly, in my experience, most people, and I think it's part of being a journalist, very few people get asked about their lives. most people are just going to talk about themselves, right? So it's just like, just the act of being intentional about asking questions about other people's lives. I think people respond to that because everyone's so like, you know, self-oriented, self-motivated, that people are just waiting to talk about themselves and give them an opportunity. And I think that opens the first door right there.
Awesome. No, I think I couldn't have said it better. So you don't throw Jesus right into their face first, but you're like, let me get to know who you are and talk about you.
Yeah, yeah. What's up with you? Where are you from? You know, what do you think about this? Or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. No, I think that's great. Thanks for that. The last topic, I guess I wanted to ask you, and this is for my own personal, I guess, heart. You're a sports writer, so you're deep into that sports world and fandom. And I think as a pastor, you know, I could be the one to confess this. I think it might be trivial, but sports in itself can be a source of idolatry or distraction or just something that could, you know, distract you from your spiritual life. And I guess, you know, as a Christian and being, you know, integrated heavily into that sports world, how do you feel like sports fandom can balance with faith in Christ? And how do you ensure it doesn't become a distraction or idol?
I guess for me, it's a little different because working in the industry so much, it's more like a job. I'm a fan of the Mavs, but I'm not necessarily living or dying with them either at this point in my life. So in that sense, it's harder for me because for me, I think it's more about, you know, for me, it's more about work being an idol. I would say for starters, just it was sports for me. And this is the advice I give to my friends who are about to get married. I tell them, pick a sport. Because if you're going to be married, you can't be a fan of all sports.
Yeah, yeah.
Not enough time.
I totally agree with this.
I'm like, you can have your one team. And like, okay, this is my team I follow. I'm really into it, whatever. And your wife, okay. You have like 3-4 teams, it's not going to work. Like if you can't be like these days, this is my job in basketball. I try to stay on top of like the football, college football teams. That's about it though. I can't watch the whole NFL anymore. I can't really watch baseball or college football. There's not time in the day. So for me, that's the biggest thing is like, okay, this is like my one. So like for me, this is my job. So like my one, I try to follow like the Texas Longhorns football team, Dallas Cowboys. But like you start talking about the rest of the NFL or baseball, I just don't know anymore because there's not time. So for me, that was the biggest thing, I guess. It's like, this, that's more like a work-life balance. Because like, you know, when you're a single guy, you watch sports all the time, like you do, but
yeah.
I was like, you know, be careful. You watch too much sports, your wife's not going to appreciate
it. Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. Great. Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. But yeah, that's all the questions I really had for you. I want to thank you for that. I think a lot of what you said is really good wisdom for us, especially here in the Bay Area. So thanks for your time and doing this, Jonathan.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And do what you're doing on the Bay.
You can read and follow Jonathan's work on theringer.com as he covers the NBA and the Dallas Mavericks. You can also find his blog of his own thoughts on the books of the Bible, which will be linked in the bio.